The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. It's good to see you. I want to read some scripture over you this morning. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. The admonishment from the Apostle Paul is what we're here to do together today. We have gathered to encourage and admonish, point one another to the beauty and significance of who God is in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to do that, and we do that each week, but we're going to do that a little bit differently this morning. We're going to have several folks within this congregation speak over this congregation. We've been taking the first 2 weeks. We've said we're going to take the first 2 weeks of January and share how we are praying for our church in this new year. And what we want to do today is, in a sense, celebrate the prayer on the wall. What am I praying for that is in line with the mission of God, for the glory of God that only God can do? And so you're going to hear from some folks in a moment who've been praying that over 2019. And we're going to look back a little bit. And then we're going to admonish one another with some things as we step into this new year, which admonish and encourage us as a faith family with the very nature of Colossians 3 is that we would be a people that lovingly, intrusively, intentionally point one another, speak into one another's lives, so that we would grow up, mature as a people, that we would be empowered to equip one another to fulfill God's purposes in and through us. And so that's what we're here to do today. We're thankful that you are here. If you're newer to Summit, I want to encourage you to take one of these guest cards. If you didn't receive one of these on your way in, they're out at the connections desk. Please fill this out, turn it in. I have a gift for you, but it's also just a way for us to pray for you by name and to put some information in your hands about who we are as a church. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue to sing together. Father, thanks for the opportunity to gather together this morning. Thanks for the men, the women, the students, the families that are represented among this place today. And I pray as we sing and as we proclaim and as we admonish today, would you meet with us? The promise is when we gather together in your name, you are among us. And so my request to meet with us is may you be tangible. May we be aware. May we sense that you're doing a work in our very lives, that you have something to say to us, something to speak to us, something to challenge and encourage in us, to us, through us this morning as a people. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that want to willingly and lovingly, humbly submit to your perfect plan. We ask all of these things in your most beautiful name, the name of Christ. Amen.
Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Michael Crippen, one of the life group leaders here, and I also get to serve with my wife and two of my good friends and Summit kids in the elementary class. And so early last week, Terry called me or texted me, and he said, "Hey, I want you to share something that you've been celebrating, that you've prayed for, that's in line with the mission of God, for the glory of God, that only God could do." I'm like, uh-oh. I said, "I'll get back to you, Terry." And because I'm thinking I don't have anything stage-worthy, right? I haven't been praying for God to send me to the mission field or to start this big ministry. And about 5 minutes later, I got a text from Terry. He said, "You're on the list, and you're first." So I started praying, and I was like, "God," and he kind of broke me a little bit because I've been praying this simple prayer probably hundreds of times over the course of this past year. And it's a simple prayer, but it's changed in my walk with Christ. It's changed my life. It's changed my faith in him. It's changed my my relationship with him. And most of the time I pray it comes out something like, "God, I want to hear directly from you through your word." It comes out, "Hey, God, I want to hear from you today as I read. Will you open my eyes to see what I'm reading?" And, man, that's changed my life because most of my life, my relationship with Christ has been brokered through people, right? I've been looking for God to speak to me through Terry's preaching or Kyle's preaching or a devotional that I'm reading or a song that God's already shared with somebody else who's sharing it with me, right? And to open the word up and read and hear directly from God through his word changed my life. It really changes the way I walk and the way my faith in him. An example of this is I was a part of Summit Residency Program. And for those who don't know what that is, every year they take a couple guys from each campus, and they meet weekly throughout the year with the pastors and elders at Summit. And it's kind of like a mini seminary, like you go through a quick year-long seminary, I guess. So, but when I got into the little class, and Terry also sprung this on me, he said, "Well, the capstone project of this class is we're going to ask you to teach for 20 minutes in front of the pastors and some of the elders." And I'm like, those who know me know that that's not in my wheelhouse, right? So I'm like, "Nah, I don't know about that. I probably wouldn't have decided to take a class if I knew that." But he gave me the passage about a month to prepare. And I started reading through that passage and praying that prayer, "God, I want to see you. I want you to speak to me. Speak to me directly from your word." I read it over and over for a month. And every time I read it, God gave me a new truth, a new application, a new something to share. Not all of it was from me, but some of it was from others. But I was able to share that with the group. And I was able to share it with my life group, and I was sharing it with my parents and with my friends. And so God gave me all this stuff. I bet I had 20 pages worth of notes. So that's kind of a celebration. That's a big prayer. I mean, that seems like a small prayer, but, man, it really changed my life. So I encourage you guys to pray prayers that line up with that. And if you can't think of anything, that's a good one to start with, the one I prayed last year. And I'm going to continue to pray it. So just wanted to share that with you guys. I hope that encourages you.
Good morning. My name is Char. For those who don't know me, I serve. I'm one of the many that greet you when you come in the door and shake your hand, welcome you here. I also get to love on all the babies. So I was led to pray last January. My desire was just to know him in a more deeper way. And so my prayer was just draw me closer, Lord. And it's always let me see, let me be filled with wonder of you. Because when we're filled with his wonder, it just has to come out. Also, I prayed that he just continue giving me opportunities to share him with others. I'm sorry. He answered this through trials this year, one big one that I'm going to share with my work. January found me already in the middle of it. I work for LabCorp in a two-person lab. We'd see 50 to 60 patients a day and process their specimens. Well, come mid-January, my two-person lab was reduced to one. And my prayer since the whole time I was there, several years, was, Lord, just use me. Let them see you through me. And I had opportunities through health issues and a lot of different things where he did that. So this was seemed like this was an even bigger opportunity for him to just show his strength. And I'd pray in the morning before I'd leave for work, Lord, just help me through this day. Let them see you. Let them see that I'm relying on you. And I remember one particular morning, one of the nurses came through the lab, and she saw about six racks of blood waiting to go in the centrifuge. And she said, Char, I don't see how you're doing this. I looked at her, and I said, I pray myself through the day. And it's the Lord that's doing it. And I had a testimony with them. So everybody was kind of watching what was happening, and I knew the Lord was going to use it. Well, come February, I was totally exhausted. My battle with RA was getting worse, and the medications weren't working. And the workload had just gotten so much that I was just totally spent. And I began just crying out to the Lord, please do something, intervene. I can't do this anymore. And after a couple of weeks, he did. He moved in a supervisor in Columbia, moved in her heart, and only he could have done this. LabCorp doesn't move people and transport people from that far away to here. We had no help available here, but he moved in her heart. She had heard what was going on where I was at, and I began having people show up from Columbia every day. And I thought, wow, Lord, I was overjoyed with the help, but overwhelmed by his love. And I knew that these were brought by him. I had a different person every day. Sometimes I would have the same one. And I knew that it wasn't a coincidence they were there. And I'd share with every one of them the reason why I knew that they had been brought there, because they couldn't figure it out either. And so I would say, okay, this is what I've been praying for. This has been my need. The Lord brought you here. And I'd get to share my faith with them. It was amazing. Some had heard of him. Some weren't quite sure about what the gospel meant. And I'd be able to share, you know, my journey with them and just share the Lord with them. Well, then they sent me a local floater. And when he came in, he and his wife had been going through some real difficulties. And I could see that the Lord was pursuing him. And I began sharing scripture with him. And I remember one morning in particular, I came in and I had read through Psalms that morning, and I opened up and I said, we need to read this together. And we read through it, and this relationship developed with this young man, and I was able to reach out and get to know his wife and build a relationship with her. But I could see the Lord working and pursuing him, and he would share with me all the things that were going on, and they were some real difficult things that were going on. They were almost about to lose their home, financial issues, there was just health issues, a lot of things going on. And I remember this one morning in particular, the Lord just impressed upon me to listen to Sunday's podcast. So I pulled up my phone, put it on, and the message and the word was exactly what that young man needed to hear. He, at the point that the Lord had him, it was where the Lord was speaking to his heart. And as I sat there, and I watched the Lord move in him, tears come to his eyes. I saw him bow his head and pray. He returned to the Lord that he'd walked away from. And this was, it was like, Lord, this was the reason for all of this. This was the reason why all this came. And I realized that the difficulties that he sends to us are his gifts, just like the good days. You know, they're his gifts that he wants to show up and show himself and prove himself to you and to those that are around you, that are watching you. And it just, it was humbling to see how the Lord would use me. But when I began seeing my trials and difficulties through his eyes and not my own, because for a while my prayer was, Lord, just in this trial, I just want it to be over. I can't do this anymore. And he'd come along and he'd say to me, my grace is sufficient. trust me, I'm in this with you. And for a long time, I had a hard time with that. I just wanted it to be over. And he showed me that in this, he was working, not only in my heart, because he began working in me and changing my desires to line up with his purposes. And once I got to that point, I could see through his eyes what I was in. And it made all the difference in the world. It's never easy to surrender to difficulties, but when he brings you to that point and you see the difficulty as coming from his loving hand, then he gives you the grace to surrender to it. And it's in that surrendering that you come to know him in ways you wouldn't ever do. My love for him has grown. He's shown me so much of his heart for me. But it's not because of the amazing things that I've seen him do. And he's done some amazing things this year. But it's because I see him more clearly. This year, the things he's brought me through with health issues and with all this at work, I see him clearer now than I did before. And that's the blessing. That's the blessing. Recently in November, my RA battle brought about some cardiac problems. A medication that was given to open up the arteries in my heart also opened up the arteries in my head. And it was like a constant migraine on steroids. I moved from here to there because the bright lights, even standing here today, is his grace because I'm still on the medication. But it was him keep telling me, my grace is sufficient, even in this. My grace is sufficient. Just trust me. But my anxious heart would say, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. But despite what my heart kept saying to me, that truth is real. That is true. His grace is sufficient. And regardless of what our feelings are. So I just, I thank you for this time, give me an opportunity to share it with you.
Good morning. My name is Kim, and I have the joy of serving as one of the deacons here at our campus and get to help lead our hospitality team. And then one of my favorite things, once a month, I get to hang out with the coolest elementary kids here. And so I love getting to hang out with them once a month. It's so much fun. So a little over a year ago, when we started praying this prayer, what am I praying for that's in line with God's word? Look, I'm already messing up. In line with the mission of God, what only God can do. Like Michael said, you just kind of adapt the prayer when you're praying it yourself, right? So when I started praying this, I'm very goal-oriented. So I was like, I got this. I've got lots of goals. We're good. Did not think this is where we would be now after praying that prayer. But as I started praying that prayer, what became really clear to me to what God was really calling me to do that only he could do was becoming a foster parent. And I had wanted to do it. I had a desire to do it before praying this prayer, but I did not want to do it as a single woman. That I had zero interest in that at all. And so as I was praying this prayer and I started praying, what the Lord really showed me first is that I was really kind of holding it against him. Like I knew he was calling me to walk in this at some point. But because I had not gotten my way and got what I wanted, then I was going to withhold that. And so that was kind of the first step. And that was really realizing like I need to surrender this. And so I did. And so I brought several people in here praying with me, walking with me through that. And so it seems like, okay, that's the end of the prayer, right? Only God can make you a foster parent because it's true, because it's so hard. But this is what's incredible about this prayer, is there's so much more to the story, so much more than I could ever even say here today. So after we go through the process, you guys, many of you know CJ, and you love him, and you have loved on him and me this entire time. And it really is. We're about to coming up on 6 months together. The fact that him and I both are still alive here today is something only God can do, because three-year-olds are magical. They can also be little terrorists. And I did not know what it was like to live with that in your home. And I love him, and he is a joy, and there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of times that we literally blast worship music, because if we don't, it's going to be other words. So we're going to blast the worship music, and I'm not kidding. But what's been really amazing with this is, y'all, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm sitting here 6 months in. I can't tell you. I have no idea what's going to happen. The system is messed up. It's hard. There's so much. But what I can say is that no matter what happens, when he leaves my home to go to wherever it is he's going to go, is he knows what biblical community is. And that seems like a big thing to say for a three-year-old. But since the day that he came into my home, I have never felt alone. And that was my greatest fear in this, is like, how can I do this? I cannot do this alone. There's been some long nights. But in those nights, I've always had someone, multiple people, to reach out to us. So many people in our body have offered to, like, care for him. Or just when they see him and I look crazy, they're like, come here, let me give you a hug, right? Like, I mean, those are the things. And those are things I never could have planned. And that's where that tagline at the end is, like, what only God can do. So when I was praying this, I had no idea how God could possibly carry us, how he could possibly make this. And when I look ahead, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? We're going to do it because only God can do it, and he's doing it. And so I think sometimes when we pray these kind of prayers, we might get kind of scared. Like, I don't want to be a foster parent. I'm going to get too attached, all the things. But the thing is I could stand up here for another 45 minutes and tell you so many ways that God has carried us in ways so much more than I could have imagined over a year ago when I first prayed this. So whatever the prayer is for you as you pray this prayer, is knowing that God is not just going to say, here, give this to you. He's going to be faithful with you the entire time. And that's something I can say, even in the midst of so much hardship and unknowns and all the things, I can still say that I'm not alone, and God is going to carry us for whatever happens.
Good morning. My name is Ashley, and along with my husband Jason, we lead a life group, and we also volunteer in the student ministry. So I'm going to jump right into 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And in verse 27, it goes on to say, now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. So, if you are in Christ, whether you like it or not, you are a part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to be talking today about ways that we tend to dysfunction in the body of Christ. But before I do, I want to be really clear that this word that the Lord has given me to share with you is not just for you. It's for me just as much as it is for you. I'm not standing up here because I have it all figured out, because I definitely do not. So know that I'm not just preaching at you. All right, so the two major ways that we tend to dysfunction in the body of Christ is we either don't function at all, and we are useless dead weight that the body has to drag around, kind of like if your arm falls asleep and it doesn't work, or we are trying to function in ways that we are never meant to. So you're an eye trying to be a hand, or you're a hand trying to be an eye, which is never going to work. So why do we tend to not function sometimes? Sometimes we feel like the body doesn't need us. We may feel that we are unworthy to be a functioning part of the body. And I know when I was new to the faith, especially when I was young, I would see people that were further along in their walks in Christ, and I would say, they know the Bible so much better than I do. They know Christ so much better than I do. Of course, the Lord would rather use them than me. I'm not worthy to be used. Maybe you feel like your gifts are lesser. I'm not an eye. I'm not a hand. I'm not Terry. I'm not Doug. I'm not Trista. I'm not Kim. What does the Lord need me for? What does his body need me for? But if you look back in verse 22, it says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So if you feel like you're weaker, you are actually an indispensable part of this body, and we need you to function in this body. Another reason that we tend to not function is we may feel like we don't need the body. And this isolation is a really dangerous place to be. You may not say that out loud, but you may be functioning that way. And an example of one way this could look is I served my one Sunday a month. Check. I felt like going to life group this week. I didn't really tell anybody what was really going on with me, but I was there. I said a couple things. Check. My duty's done. I'm good. But that is not functioning as a part of the body of Christ. Being a part of the body of Christ is a way that we are supposed to be living our lives daily, because it is impossible to be healthy apart from the body. Just as much as if your big toe decided that it didn't need you anymore, so it's going to sever itself from your foot. How long is it going to be healthy? It's going to die real quickly. Also, it is crippling our body. Just as if your heart decided that it only wanted to beat when it felt like it. So you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting all of us. Your faith and your relationship with Christ, your gifts, your talents, your time, your money, was not given to you for yourself. Brian Onken, a while ago, gave a class on spirit giftedness, and it was so helpful for me to learn more about my role in the body and how to step into that. And I really, really highly recommend that you go listen to it. It's on the website under Gifted Audio, and he put it this way. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He says, the gifts are for the benefit of others, either encouraging and awakening faith in the unbelieving or building up and deepening the faith in the believing. So things you've been given are not for yourself. They're for all of us. All right, so the other way we tend to dysfunction in the body of Christ is we try to function in ways we are never meant to. And there are lots of reasons that we do this. One of the reasons is our desire for control. Maybe we feel like we can do it better than other people, or maybe we just can't trust to let go of our control. Maybe we've been burned by trusting people in the past. So we try to do all the things on our own. The dangers of this is that when we're doing that many things, we're not doing any of them well, especially if we're functioning outside of the role that the Lord created us for. We are also functioning in our own strength and our own abilities, which are limited, unlike the strength and the abilities of the Lord if we're leaning on him. And we may be hindering a member of our body from functioning as the Lord intended for them, and we are keeping them from stepping into their God-ordained role in the body. Let's take a moment and look at control in another way, though. Who should we be looking to and trusting to be in control? Should we be looking to Terry? Should we be looking to Remington? Our deacons? Our life group leaders? No. Christ is the head of the body, and he is who we should be looking to and trusting to be in control. Are these people meant to have the weight of the body on their shoulders and do all of the things? Let's look at verse 17. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? It's ridiculous, right? But that's sometimes how we try to function. That's what we're asking them to do. So when we look to these people and ask them and expect them to do all the things, we are part of the problem because we are asking them to be dysfunctional. Not only are they incapable of doing everything, they were never intended to. Now, the leaders in our body, they do have very specific roles, and it's good and right for us to look to them for those things. So, for example, it's good and right for us to look to Terry to open God's word to us, to teach us, to lead us, to shepherd us. And all of our leaders have very specific roles in our body, but so do you. And your role is no less important than theirs. It says you're indispensable. And so all of us, including our leaders, need you. So we need to figure out what our roles are in this body and step into them. But we also have to be careful, because it is so easy to step into a role and to try to function in ways that we were never meant to. So a couple other ways that we tend to do that. Sometimes we tell the Lord, this is how I'm willing to work for you, Lord. You may say something like, Lord, I want to do this for you. Come on, Jesus, let's do it. Or you may say, Lord, this is what I am comfortable doing. This is my comfort zone, and I will not step out of it. I will do these things for you, but if you ask me to do this, I'm not doing it. But I have generally found that the things that the Lord calls me to have nothing to do with what my sinful, fallen self wants or is comfortable with. Because if I am only willing to do things that I know that I'm good at, or I'm fully capable of doing on my own, who gets the glory? I do. But if instead he calls me way out of my comfort zone and asks me to do something I don't want to do, I can say, and people can clearly see, that is only by the Lord's work, and he gets the glory, which is what we're supposed to be about. In fact, I'm very guilty of this. It has taken me at least 6 months to get up here and say these things to you because I didn't want to. And as I'm in the middle of wrestling with not wanting to get up here and say these things to you, we, of course, go through an entire series on Jonah. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. So, but the dysfunction that I am personally most prone to is this next one. Blindly saying yes to every opportunity or need that we become aware of. This dysfunction is similar to our desire for control, and it has the same dangers, but we're doing it for a different reason. And this one's kind of tricky, because there are a lot of good things that we can be doing. And it's so easy to think, obviously, the Lord would want me to do this. This is so good. Obviously, the Lord would want me to do this. So without thinking or pausing or asking the Lord if he wants to use us in this way, we step into that role. But just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's for you to do. A wise friend has told me many times that every yes you say is a no to something else. And there was a time in my life where I was fully dysfunctioning in this way, partly because I didn't know how to say no. There are so many really, really good things that I said yes to, and I poured myself into them. Poured myself out until I had nothing left to give, and I was completely burnt out. And in the midst of that, the Lord brought a broken, hurting girl into the house I was living in, And of course, the only empty bed in the entire large house was in my room. But I could not take on one more thing. So I asked my roommates to switch rooms and love on her, and they did. And it's been well over 10 years since that. And the Lord has just now revealed to me that the truth that she needed to hear was the same truth he had spoken over to me. He had spoken it over me and delivered me from some things. And so I was the one that was best suited to love on her. And he wanted to use me to speak into her life. But I had nothing left to give her. And y'all, until now, I was completely unaware that I had totally missed what God was calling me to. Because I had said yes to so many good things without even asking him if he wanted to use me in that way. So when we're trying to function in ways we were never meant to, the lie that we are believing is that God needs me to do work for him. Let's think about that for a moment. How many times in Scripture does it say we are nothing but grass? You're a weed. You're a flower. You're here today. You're gone tomorrow. You are dust. You are a breath. In the span of your lifetime, what is one breath? Nothing. It's nothing. And that's what we are to the infinite, almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth and sustainer of it all, including you, of every millisecond of every day. He does not need you to do his work. But in his grace, in his immense love, his desire is for us to join with him in his work. He delights in using us as the tools and vessels that he chooses to do his work through. But if we are dysfunctioning, are we participating with him in his work, or are we just busying ourselves doing nothing of eternal significance? Because on our own, we don't have the power or the ability to change one person's heart, even our own. Good luck trying. It will not work. I've tried. I know it doesn't work. Only the Spirit has that power. So we have to allow the Spirit to work through us and use us as he wills. So doing more things does not mean accomplishing more for his kingdom. Also, doing nothing or having a relationship with Christ just for yourself is pointless. He wants to use us to further his kingdom in the lives of the people he's placed around us. In fact, he commanded us to go out and make disciples. It's part of the gig, y'all. You can't get away from it. So whether you like it or not, if you are in Christ, you are an integral part of the body of Christ, and we need you. God does not need you, but we do. We need you. We are fallen and sinful, and we need each other. Just like each part of your body needs the others to function properly. So I do want to pray. But before I do that, because I know that was not easy to listen to, I'm going to go and speak the words of Paul that he spoke right after he was talking about how we dysfunction as the body. So he's talking about us and how we function as the body of Christ. Oop. Thank you. There's no way I was going to be able to bend down and get that. Thank you. All right. So this is what he says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And this is how we're supposed to live as the body of Christ. So as we go into this year, will you pray with me? Father, you have arranged us in your body, each one of us, as you chose. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the specific roles that you have appointed for each one of us, and give us boldness to step into those roles. Help us realize that the busyness and noise and distractions that are constantly vying for our attention are blinding us to what truly matters and drowning out your still small voice. We cannot see if we never look to you, and we cannot hear if we never listen. Help us to wake up from all the things that pull us away from you and the true, eternally significant purpose that you continue to keep each one of us on this earth. Help us to stop in the midst of it all so that we don't completely miss out on what you have for us and how you want to use us, which is so much better than anything else we could be striving for. We need to learn to slow down and make space and time to get to know you, to spend time in your word. But also, instead of just talking to you, we need to learn how to be still and silent and just listen. Only then will you be able to recognize your voice and discern where you are leading us. We also need each other to do this. You love to use your people for your glory and for the good of those around us, but we have to be willing to let people in. We have to tear down the walls we built and commit to being connected to each other by letting people into our lives and working to be involved in the lives of others. Because each one of us reflects and bears only a tiny facet of your image, and we need each other to have a fuller understanding of who you are and where we fit in your body. The beauty of your body is that each one of us is so uniquely designed, because there is not one finite being that could ever fully bear your image. We only fully reflect your image to the world when we are functioning together as one. So, Father, please teach us to walk in step with your Spirit as one unified body, so that we may become a more complete and beautiful reflection of you and your character to the world around us. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.